minutes.
So moved and approved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Has been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes from the previous meeting as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right, let's start with Mr. Nemitz. Hoback Ranches, come on up.
So,
just go ahead and have a seat here, Mr.
Right.
Nemitz, and okay. Just for the record, it'd be a good idea to introduce yourself.
I can do so. Dave Nemitz, I am the treasurer of the board for the Hoback Ranches Service and Improvement District. And I am appreciative of a few moments of your time, because I know this is a focus on budget today, and I'll keep it brief. As you are aware, my primary purpose today is in initiating formal petition for requesting the county to assume maintenance of the primary access road into the Hoback Ranches. And as most of you are probably also quite aware, the county invested nearly $1 million into this section of road approximately 6 years ago. And I have been advised that the primary fact preventing the assumption of responsibility for maintenance of that road at that time was that 3 mile of section crosses the Forest Service, and there was in existence then only a 40-foot easement. So I then sought assistance from Ranger Cranadonk, who graciously agreed to look into this, and I'm very pleased to report that as of today, there is an amended 60-foot easement permit sitting on the regional supervisor's desk awaiting approval, and I'm on my way to pay the bill for this upon leaving this meeting. So I was cautioned in not to spend too much time whining about taxes, but I do feel that there is some factual information supporting the use of county funds for this project. This map that's got a longer wingspan than even mine, which is too small for those with a visual orientation, there's 150 dots on here, and those represent the current number of homes within the Hoback Ranches. The primary access road for those 150 homes is this section that is under request. Of those 150 homes, approximately 40 of those belong to full-time county voting residents who several of whom are employed in various capacities such as law enforcement, healthcare, fire control, road maintenance, you know, things that do add value around here. There also exists on the map another approximately 100 parcels that are awaiting home construction. So, you know, total could be about up to 250. The other, what I feel pertinent fact is that Hoback Ranches currently represents the second largest non-agricultural property tax contribution in the entire county. Everyone in this room is very much able to think of roads maintained by the county that, you know, service only a small fraction of that number of properties. Yet Hoback Ranches doesn't have one inch of that service. This discrepancy does seem inappropriate. What does seem appropriate is resolving the problem, and I would think that with the commissioner's approval, Butch could begin to assess this section of road, whether, you know, to permit deciding what we got to do next, whether that be to do traffic counts, to get additional data, or review of the recently completed road revision that would ensure that the requirements have been met for placing this in Class 1 status. So that's pretty much my wrap, and if there are questions I could try and answer, I'll be happy to do so.
Thank you, Mr. Amos. Gentlemen, questions, comments, thoughts? Floor is open.
My first thought, if you could show me on the map, is 3-mile stretch, how many homes would that service?
Well, a specific number, I will say, let's see, let me get oriented. The road comes in from this side. There is another entrance on the eastern side. Western side, this is the eastern side. This is the road coming in, starts out here. So because of the topography, there is a large area of basically slide along Rim Mountain, Kismet Peak here. So the people that accessed this on this road, I would say, were from this point to here, which is probably about 3/4.
So you're asking us to take over the maintenance on the part that was upgraded.
Correct.
How many miles? 3 miles?
3 miles.
And that does that reach these homes, or where does that 3 miles stop?
The road starts 3 there. Miles out here at the highway. It ends at the gate that is the beginning of Hoback Ranch's property. That is the 3-mile section. Is under discussion primarily because the easement requirement from the Forest Service, as you guys are well aware, requires mag sulfate, and of course that's not cheap. And it represents greater than 50% of our road budget to do that 3 miles. And we've got, you know, 26 miles of roads we're trying to keep somewhat serviceable.
You have a request in to the regional office for a 60-foot easement then?
That is correct.
And the 60-foot easement would belong to the homeowners association?
That is correct.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
I have a question. What do we do with all of the people that are in the wings waiting for their road to become a county road?
Well, I guess I'm in that group, so you tell me.
Well,
I'm waiting.
I understand, but my point is there's many subdivisions in this county that are not county roads.
That's correct, but I doubt there are many that supply the, I know there's not. There's not many that supply what we do in terms of cash contribution to the county. We're the second largest. So the fact that there isn't 1 inch of road maintained seems like there's maybe something to talk about here.
I think this would be a good time to address that. Mary, would you just walk us through the taxes on this? We've got some information in front of us here. Assessed valuation, mill levies, taxes generated, and this is broke down substantially. So the fact that Hoback Ranches maybe has a $6 million assessed valuation doesn't mean that $6 million come into the county. And I'd like Mary to explain that.
So, and Mr. Nemitz, I believe you have this information also. It's the same information I got from our county assessor.
Yes.
But we start out with $5.8 million of assessed value. There are 59 mills of tax that are taxed to Hoback Ranches, which generates $347,000 of tax. Of that $347,000, the county commissioners are in charge of 12 of those 59 mills. The rest of the mills go to the schools, the special districts, other agencies that they have no control over. So the 12 mills generates $70,482. From the 12 mills, the general fund is the money that's used to operate the county. So the general fund pays for road and bridge, the courthouse, law enforcement, you know, the services, landfill, those services that we provide to the county, that is $60,708. From the general fund, we're going smaller, we're going like this. when we get down to Road and Bridge's share of the $60,000, it's $3,324 a year this year based on 59 mills of tax.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Appreciate that. And that just helps see the big picture. Do you disagree?
I'm not a numbers guy. I became a physician because I can count five fingers, five toes. That's as far as I need to go.
Gotcha.
I've been around Wyoming long enough to know that there's lots of roads that are maintained by various government agencies that service a whole lot fewer people than what this road does. So, okay. I'm not in the position where you guys are to have to figure out.
I just needed to throw out the breakdown on the taxes so that we compare apples and oranges.
I get that you guys got such a pile and you got to figure out where it goes. Yeah. I know that. I don't envy that.
True story.
I'm trying to do the same thing in here.
Absolutely. how long have you resided in Hoback Ranch?
I started building there in the early 90s, and I'm almost done.
Sounds like some of my building projects. I got a fencing project like that. Excellent. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question just looking at considering the past. With that road was designated Class 2 and there was a project done in 2013. And perhaps this is a question that the guys from Rio Verde might be able to answer better. But I guess the question I have was, when that project was done in 2013, was the location for that road mandatory, or was it one by choice, or did you figure it was the ideal site for that road? And if not, were there problems or concerns that made you come to that conclusion?
Well, when Rim Road, that first section of 3 miles, it was one of the first applications that came into the Class 2 road program when that was developed in 2007. And from 2007 to, I believe, 2013, their Hoback Ranch has worked with the Forest Service on trying to get an easement. At that time, they only had a service use agreement with the Forest Service. There was no easement in place. So it took them 6 years to get an easement. I think they tried hard at that time to get as wide of an easement as they could. The Class 2 program, though, only required a minimum of 40-foot wide easement. The Forest Service liked that, and that's what they gave Hoback Ranches, was a 40-foot wide easement to get them into the Class 2 road program. So you have a 40-foot wide easement. I believe Hoback Ranches also shared costs with a neighboring landowner there to survey the existing road into the ranches, and that became the easement because there was just a service use agreement. And so that's what we had to work off of, was that easement that the existing road was on. And being 40 foot wide, it didn't meet Class 1 standard. It was an expensive project, so we made it. I figured they got a pretty good road. I mean, put almost $1 million into it just to make it what it is. It's mountain terrain. The road fits the terrain. To look at it as a Class 1 road, there needs to be some more significant improvements. I think Road and Bridge has concerns of alignment, so that would have to be looked at. When I did the road, there was wetland problems. We had to go through the core to fill some wetlands, so if you're going to make the road wider, fills wider, probably a possibility of mitigating wetlands in there. You're going to have to look at moving utilities out of the right of way. Currently, there's overhead power lines and underground power lines, so those probably have to be moved out of the right of way. All concerned. I mean, it's varying terrain. Like I said, mountain terrain. Each section's different in there. There's some unstable soils. that the county has experience with on like Bell Creek Road. It's slumping soils that collapse. There's those type of soils in there on sections. So to make the road wider, it's not that easy of a project. It can be done. It costs a lot of money.
Okay.
But definitely.
Skyler.
Just to add a little bit on to what Aaron said, not only are you talking about extra right-of-way width, but the road top would have to be wide, because I think it's only 2 foot.
Yeah, we only had a 40-foot wide easement to work with. In Class 2 road program, we minimum width of the road is only 20 feet in standards.
Right.
I mean, we looked at each project specifically and what width of road, as long as it was 20 feet wide, would fit the terrain best.
Yeah.
And that fit pretty good.
On a 60-foot easement, what is the road top?
24-foot top.
24?
For Class 1, you need 24-foot wide.
Okay.
Yep. And then you need 6-to-1 shoulders off of it.
Okay.
And then you have your slopes that go down and catch.
Gotcha.
And a lot of that road, I mean, it parallels the creek up through there. So, or it parallels the steep hillside, which, you know, we were cutting 150 feet, 200 feet up the hillside in some spots just to make what we got. You go wider, pushing in the hillside, you're going to go farther cuts, or you're filling down in the creek and the way. So,
yeah.
There's some design challenges.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate that. Anything further, Skyler? Any other input on that?
Nothing came to my mind.
Okay. Good. Billy, do you have any comments? Anything that we've missed that we need to know about?
For snow removal. I mean, right now, you know, we spend probably, you know, I pretty much run two guys up there in the winter. We keep a blade and a blower up there. And, you know, they're putting in 12, 14 hours to add that. You know, we'd have to add another blade. It'd be a challenge.
Are you clearing snow on that now?
Yes.
No.
If you're saying if, gotcha.
That's the homeowners association that removes the snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha.
That would be a whole other, I'd have to have another blade. So it would be cost.
Okay.
How many, very good question.
Go ahead.
How many permanent residents have children that get on the school bus out of this subdivision?
At this time, there are none coming this direction. There is, to my knowledge, a couple going to Jackson, because we're pretty much right in between, and their parents work in Jackson.
Gotcha. Do you know if they take them with them, or a school bus comes out to get them?
The honest answer is I'm not sure.
Yeah. It's all right. Okay. Any further comments, gentlemen? I'm going to ask the public if they have any.
Mr. Chairman, just one question, I guess. The normal process for the county changing and accepting a road into the program, a question for Hoback Ranch's homeowners, it would be, are they willing to pay the cost to bring the road up to standard, which could include relocating part of it to where we can take care of it? That's one question needs answered. Another question that we would need an estimate from Billy, if Hoback Ranches wants to do that, then I would like to know how much we need to increase our budget to pay for the cost of maintenance. The moving the road would include paying the engineering fees and the whatever construction that entailed. And
yeah.
I haven't heard if, I guess that's a question for you, Mr. Nimitz, is do you know if Hoback Ranches is willing to do that?
Of course, that answer is dependent upon the dollar figure entailed. And it's one of those, chicken or egg things. obviously we don't have that kind of money in the bank or whatever. It would take the homeowners basically deciding whether they wanted to raise their taxes sufficiently to permit some amount of money being put aside for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. That has been the modus operandi, if you will, of the commission in the past, is if a road comes up to county standards, then the commission will discuss whether to adopt it as a county road. They have never in the past adopted a road that hasn't been brought up to county standards, that I am aware of. Do you know of one? Gentlemen, do you know of one? I can't think of one off the top of my head.
So every road that the county maintains now, was initially brought to a certain standard by a private party?
If it was owned by a private party, yes.
Yes, my subdivision was that way. We all had to pay to bring it up to county standards, and then it was made a county road. But that was probably 25 years ago.
There's bound to be a few examples of some roads clear back in the early days.
In the origin of the county.
The county that aren't a county standard that was adopted as a county road before these new regulations were taken on years and years ago. So you can find a road that's not ideal, but those were adopted by commissioners years ago, 20, 30, I would say.
So I think probably the best route would be to continue with your easement and see if you get that easement, and then perhaps poll the inhabitants of the subdivision out there and see if they'd be willing to raise their taxes to bring it up to a county road standard.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Maybe part of that continuing with the easement would be contingent on if the road needs moved, then the easement would need to be where the road needs to be moved. Not the easement for the existing road.
That's true.
And then part of it would require a construction easement, at least temporary, based on the slopes and everything that's going to be take to build it, plus the engineering fees. And it would seem like the next step for you guys would be whether you want to hire an outside engineer or pay Rio Verde's cost to go out there and assess it and see what it would take to get it where it needs to be and get it up to standard. You're going to have to hire a professional to give you that number to where you can have a discussion in your homeowners to see if they want to come up with the resources to get it to that point. I guess that's my thought.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, and I hadn't thought about that. That is a good point. Anybody from the public, from the floor, anybody have anything that they'd like to add? All right, excellent. Commissioner Aulhauser.
I guess the only thing that I would add is that if we got to the point where the commissioners decided to maybe go ahead with this, the extra cost that Billy's group would have to come up with through the road and bridge, I would have, as an individual county commissioner, I would have to say everybody else's road's coming in too.
Okay.
So we're going to have to figure out what's it going to do. What's it called, First North and First South? Am I correct on those two roads? And they've already been brought up to county standards by those homeowners.
But they have not been adopted by the county.
Accepted.
That is correct.
Absolutely. And I guarantee you this room will be full of those people wanting to know why. If we went along with yours, why theirs? So if we did this,
we're going to have to adopt them all.
We're going to have to do those too.
Okay. All right.
You have to need our guys. But I do understand your position.
Yeah.
I do.
And I just recently heard that, I know that Meadowlark Lane had been assumed by the county some time ago, and it, of course, just recently has been paved or is in the process of or whatever. And and it just seems like there's a discrepancy there. So the commission seems to be making a choice to support something separate from the rest of the service and improvement districts under those circumstances.
I think that road is a county road already.
That's right. And so, I mean, that's why I'm saying there's an exception there. It's, you know, it's like you can do that for one.
Go ahead, Commissioner Burnett.
Mr. Nemeth, I don't, from what I queried on that subject before we approved that project, I don't believe there is. And I'll say that from this standpoint. We were informed that one of the guidelines that the Department of Transportation uses is an annual daily volume on those roads. And they seem to be of the opinion that roads that have an annual daily volume of greater than 500 vehicles should be considered for paving. The question I asked specifically, other than Metal Arc, are there any other roads in our county that meet that volume criteria of having more than 500 vehicles per day on an annual basis? And the answer I was given was no. So that would tell me we did make an exception for Metal Arc. There's not any other roads in this county that meet that standard. Correct me if I'm wrong. We had that conversation before we approved or considered approving the Metal Arc pavement.
So well, there may be that requirement for pavement, but I'm suspecting there may be requirements that are less for other maintenance.
Well, all I'm saying is, with regard to your comment about making a special exception or a discretionary decision with regards to that road, I don't believe we did. I think we did it based on the information we were given, and I'm still under the impression there's not another road in the county that meets that criteria. So I don't think we made an exception.
Well, the road was initially accepted from the others by the county taking over it long before it was paved. And I have not, you know, you talk about numbers of vehicles, I haven't been able to get even a traffic counter out there because I'm told it's not a county road and it's kind of a circle thing, you know.
And that is a true statement. We can't put a counter on a non-county road. And you can certainly rent one and put it out there and get those numbers, absolutely. Commissioner Noble has a comment.
I'd just like to point out that the Metal Arc Lane does have the full easement. It is up to Class 1 standards before it was ever adopted as a county road, which we just discussed. Yours doesn't meet that Class 1 standard. And the amount of children that get on the school bus out there is huge. So we took all those facts into consideration. And the road count was over 1,700. And I don't think we want to get into comparing this road and that road, because that's going to open up something we don't want to do.
But so my point was that there is, you know, somebody made the comment of, you know, needing to make them all the same thing. Well, clearly there's been some discrepant way of looking at different roads, Metal Arc being one.
And I guess I would, like you earlier said, that your tax base, and we've never put any money into it, and I'd like you to rethink that, because we put $1 million into the first 3 miles on that Class 2 road thing. So
I did not say never put money into it. I clearly stated that the county graciously did put nearly $1 million into it. There is none being put into maintenance.
Okay. Further comment, gentlemen? Anything further? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Nemeth. Appreciate it.
Thanks for your time.
You bet. Dawn, come on up. Let's talk about Clark's Draw Road.
Another map.
And another map.
You guys like big maps, don't you?
Yeah. I like
the draw. Have you seen it? This is the Monument Ridge project that we have been working with the collaborative, including Joel and Richard Stem and many county folks on. The road project, how many of you are familiar with Clark's Draw Road?
I better run through
it with me. Okay. So Excuse me. So if you start over in the Cliff Creek Fire area.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let me get acclimated here. So here's the Cliff Creek. Let's see. Here's.
Yeah, that's where it hits 191.
Yeah, I'm trying to see where it. Okay, so here's the Cliff Creek Road. It goes. Let's see. This is a Cliff Creek Road into here. And up this drainage, this road travels all the way around Monument Ridge. And just before Hoback Ranches, there's a Forest Service trailhead there. It's just a flat spot off the side of the road. This is not before, this is before Upper Hoback, not Hoback Ranches, I apologize.
So this is where the telephone outfit is, there where you pull off the road, off of 191. That's what it looks like.
It's like just before the, it's just before the post office and such.
Oh, it's before the post office coming from Pinedale? No, it's after.
Is that coming from this way? Well,
you've made the turn and you're headed towards Bondurant. So the telephone substation and everything should be right there.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Right?
So near there.
Unfortunately, this is like the furthest from my office. And so
this is the Upper Hoback Road right here.
Right. So after you go by the Upper Hoback
Road.
Post office
and the Upper Hoback Road.
Right.
And then you're heading towards Bondurant.
Right.
It's up there on that sagebrush bench.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So this road,
where everybody unloads their snow machines and takes off.
Yeah,
right?
This is a native surface road. And right now, it's not in a condition to where we can get crews in there to do this project. I drove it yesterday. I took out a consultant to give me an idea of what different levels of project will take and where they will take me. In order to get crews in there and do this Monument Ridge project.
Explain very briefly, Don, to the rest of the commissioners what the project
So the Monument Ridge project is a project we've been working with Claire on. It was chosen as the number one project to move forward. And so we pushed forward with this project. It's a fuels and vegetation reduction project. It started out originally at a 7,000-acre project. We bumped it to an 18,000-acre project. That project, we applied for Joint Chiefs funding for this project and the Skyline project, and that's internal Forest Service special funding. And we applied for road maintenance money and some trail maintenance project because that NEPA is easy to do. We can just put it on the ground, basically. The rest of the Joint Chiefs money went over to the Skyline Ridge project, which was about $350,000, roughly, just off the top of my head. This Monument Ridge project will benefit wildlife, mule deer. So the Game and Fish is going to be funding this project. We had a meeting yesterday for the first phase of this project, which would be some of these blue sections and maybe parts of this and this. They'll be applying for $1 million to do that part of the project, and I will also be applying for $1 million for Joint Chiefs funding. As we move through here, this project will be, if you can imagine, that's $1 million. This is anywhere from a 10+ million dollar project. In order to get started, one of the things we need to do is to improve this access, both for the project and for recreation. That was decided on as a important road to improve for recreation. It's not a highway thoroughfare. It's not one of our main thoroughfares. And to reroute the trail. When I went out with the consultant yesterday, the idea is not to bring this to county road standard by any means. It's not warranted. It's a native surface road. I'm not sure how it was put in. There are some few minor drainage improvements that were put in. It looks to me maybe the last time they were maintained was 15 years best, more likely 20. So the consultant gave me, he said, you know, based on what I say, I'd say there's a couple different levels you can do. If you were to go in, and I got $70,000 for this road project through Joint Chiefs funding. The problem with the way the Joint Chiefs funding is, it's not even in the bank account, we're taking a risk. But it's coming, but my contracting and agreement deadlines are going to go away, and that money can basically t- turn into a pumpkin September 30th. And so we would like to get that money under a special Schedule A agreement right. in with the county.
That was going to be my question.
And so in order to do that, it's easy. The best way to do that is with some kind of county match. Now, when I talked to the consultant, he said in order to put proper drainage ditches, water crossings, and to gravel the road at 4 to 6 inches, it would be $300,000+, which would be a county contribution of $230,000. It's not warranted on that road. And so I said, well, if I got the county to match, could we get this, where could we get this versus the $70,000? At the $70,000, he felt like he could grade it and compact it and address a few minor water features along with this first part of the road, the first mile or so. We have road base and gravel at the Fisherman's Pit where he felt like he could get it in there, that first part, which not only benefits the project and rec users. Right now, my cattle grazers and permittees are camping out right here. That's where they unload and load. It would facilitate them getting in further, reduce some trailing and that kind of stuff. So he felt like he could do that, and I asked him, well, how long would it last? He said, it may last a year, it may last 3 years, depending on water. So I said, what's the next level where if I got county match? That would be you putting in 70 and us putting in 70. And he said, then you can get about 20 crossings, good drainage ditches, drainage features, along with the compacting and the grading of the road. And rather than taking a risk at doing something, hoping it lasts the duration of the project, I felt it was more likely to last the duration of project if I come and ask you guys for a match. And
so the $70,000 that you're wanting to put into a Schedule A is not contingent on a county match.
Well, right now, I think that we have to have some kind of match, 50-50. I'm working with my agreement folks. I've been told that I have to by my roads folks.
The other Schedule A's that we've done haven't required
that. Okay.
So I was just...
So I may be, you know, I'm still working with my agreement folks.
Okay.
And that kind of thing.
Go ahead.
Don, help me understand, because you pointed from here to here and you pointed down there. But
okay, so
what is this project? Is it going to be just through here?
So the whole to do the $140,000, it would take it all the way to here.
Starting from here.
It's about 7 miles of road.
Now, is this road right here that goes to the Upper Hoback?
No, this is the Upper Hoback. This is just right here. This
that's
is the Upper
where everybody
Hoback.
Dumps their snow machines off yeah. right there after you turn the corner.
So this does not go through a residential
no.
part?
No. It's going to take it up to passable.
So are there homes in this area?
No, there are no roads. Access is no homes. Okay. Access nothing. It's basically a partnership for this project.
Would that be a road open to the public?
It is open to
right.
public. It's going to stay open to the public, except for maybe during maintenance and stuff like that, because okay. it's so narrow. I would be a little uncomfortable having graders and dozers in there and saying, yeah, go ahead, drive. There's no way around it, but go ahead and drive.
Okay. All right.
So one other question, I guess. When you say you worked with through a collaborative agreement, had people with input and that type of thing on this project?
Well, this whole project has been through the collaborative, the county sponsored
collaborative.
So the collaborative is how collaboratives work is they bring a lot of people together and say, sometimes collaboratives are used to overcome strong disagreements and hurdles. We have not taken on those type of projects with the collaborative. These have been projects that we all think are great projects. So the Game and Fish, the BLM, the county commissioners have involved. They've also brought in the Weed and Pest.
Okay, so I guess my question is, were there any stakeholders in terms of the people that own property in this area included in on that?
So as far as this, yes.
Yeah.
And we have been meeting with Upper Hoback folks one-on-one and in separate meetings with these, because we did a public meeting on this project, on this whole project, at the fire station, at which time the Hoback Ranches have been attending this attending the collaborative. But there hasn't been attendance from Upper Hoback, and some of us not knowing the dynamics of the area didn't know how separate those entities were. So we've been meeting with these Upper Hoback folks. We've been taking them out on rides, showing them other fuels reduction projects and vegetation, because they're concerned about a couple things. One, when they saw this map, it's in nice red fire colors, and they envisioned a fire coming. That's not how it's done. But they also are concerned about view sheds, their experience, and stuff like that. So right now, we have met with most of the homeowners. I know we have one that still has some concerns. He's a new person to the community, as far as I know. I don't know his name off the top of my head. But we have been working hand in hand with those people as a Forest Service entity to explain what we do, the dynamics of this process. Because when you do a fuels reduction project here, the first year can be scary to folks because it represents not just change, a big change. And so that visual of something I've seen for 20 years, and whoa, is different. It can be alarming. But then as you see how that progresses, that change goes away rather rapidly. Yeah. And quake, you know, particularly the goal of this is quake regeneration. A lot of this is late succession, meaning fir and older lodgepole pine are at the end of a forest lifespan, and then it starts over. Because we firefight and that kind of stuff to protect homes, that process gets interrupted. And so quakey and that type of vegetation that feed elk, deer, and cattle, that process gets interrupted and disrupted. And for good or bad, it changes, and then there's less feed for those type of ungulates.
Does this project involve logging at all?
Yes. Our hope is, one of the concerns with this is it's far away.
Okay.
You know, we're trying to get this part into logging. It's not going to be a ton, but that's just the market.
And
it's not us.
Ways down the road too.
We're trying to get this out there as soon as possible. This section out there first.
Okay.
They're working on that. Yeah, this is where the timber would come from. Okay. It's the only thing that our folks felt was marketable, okay. And just because of the distance from things,
yeah.
Your folks in Daniel and here maybe. As we get to LaBarge and those folks in Evanston, it gets less and less worth their time and money.
Joel, was this your first choice
as
far as the collaborative also?
I can give a little background to the collaborative itself. The collaborative was formed as a follow-up to the Governor's Forest Health Task Force, which Rich Stem and I both served on that, as well as a couple of regional foresters. During that process, Jackie Buchanan was one. Most of us remember her. Anyway, this project and getting the NEPA done to authorize aerial spraying, helicopter spraying of cheatgrass was another priority. And we're working on both of those at this time. But supervisor, our long-term plans is to expand this all the way up Union Pass with actual cutting trees, timber sales. We had a meeting last week. Don was at that one with the regional office talking about what needs to happen to develop a long-term timber strategy. How many million board feet can we cut in this county on a sustainable basis? That's in the future. Few years down the road, but this project was chosen partly because of the threat of fire to Hoback Ranches. That had a little bit to do with it, mostly to improve habitat for livestock, wildlife, the view shed for recreation, pine encroachment on aspen. That's what Don is talking about here. Part of why he's here today on the Clark Draw Road is when this project starts, people are going to have to be able to get up that road to get in there and do the project. It would enhance recreation. The road goes on up. It's public access to public land, so there's a benefit there.
Right now, that road, I drove it yesterday. in the process, two other Forest Service employees couldn't get through in their rig. I threw them in mine, threw them. It's only passable by more equipped 4x4s and people who are comfortable with uncomfortable situations, very uncomfortable situations. I mean, maybe you guys, it's a piece of cake, but, you know, I'm talking about getting a phone.
Well, one of the 5 feet of snow in my snow machine, I'm all right.
Well, yeah, you're good with that.
Yeah.
So one of the considerations on Schedule A money, and I think Chairman Nelson did mention we've done other Schedule A projects without match money, but it might not, if this board was considering of helping on that, we've got, this is not in your ranger district, but we could use some help in other areas, like on the Skyline project on getting the rocks out of the county easement, which is an ongoing...
Don't thing. Drag me into Rash, that, man. Yeah, that's Rob's mess.
Scratch, yeah. Scratch.
I know.
Well, if you want to talk about scratching, you guys are getting a lot of gravel out of a gravel pit that was just recently expanded to scratch some back. So,
right. You know, we could go
and
on,
it's been free.
We could go on all day
I
back
know.
And forth. You know, bridges wash out. Who's first ones to come?
It was fun to see you turn red.
Yeah. I just know Rob's rock problem, and it's like, Rob, don't drag me into your private hell, okay?
I thought he was here.
Okay, so
he's not coming until later, so I can say everything about him if I want to.
We'll get him when he comes.
The $64,000 question, the $70,000 question, where does this money come from?
So let me, before you answer that, let me tell you what my road crew guy told me the other day. He goes, I give Lincoln County $250,000 a year for projects because they partner. I've been struggling to get success with Sublette County. So this partnership, it serves that county. It makes the segue for other opportunities. Because for one, this project, you know the importance of quick successes early on, right? I mean, the more successes we have, the more DC dollars I'm going to bring to Sublette County.
This project was looked at as what they termed low-hanging fruit.
So before,
something easy to get the NEPA done, easy to get approved.
When you thought about the NEPA, how long did you think, when you first imagined this for the discussion, how long did you think the NEPA would take?
I don't know that I really had a number in
so, mind. You know, people were just like, oh, you'll never get it done. I mean, they've tried NEPA here before. We're signing this September 15th. That's for this whole project, 18,000 acre project. I think that's a pretty big deal to show our commitment to getting this done.
It was. And one of the reasons that it got done that fast, if you were to ask Tricia, was because the recommendation came from the collaborative. And the collaborative, it's a little bit like the WSA collaborative. We've got multiple use interests represented on there. We've got grazing, the bond, grazing association up there is represented. Holdback Ranches is represented. Sportsmen, all groups are represented between the conservation district and myself, and the team out of DC that came out here to help get that started in the first place. Forget what they termed them. That's been,
and I can't tell you how beneficial Rich and Joe have been to greasing the skids for us to not only get the project done, they get the money, because that background work that we can't do,
I think it's
fundamental for us.
Without that, the Joint Chiefs funding would not.
It would have never come through. Not a chance. Without you guys and Richard's help.
I'm not necessarily saying that we shouldn't consider partnering on it. I would like Billy or our road and bridge to go out there and just take a drive up that and get some feedback from them to see what would be the minimal amount of work that needs to be done on that in order to achieve that goal of the project goal and make it better for recreation users to get up on up in there to where they go, benefit wildlife management from Game and Fish's perspective to get the harvest they need on the deer and I'm assuming elk. in that mm-hmm. area.
Yeah, it's
I'm not
big
familiar
deal.
With it, but I guess that would be what I would like to do is just have our guys go look at it.
And see,
we might be able to do it a lot cheaper than what you think.
Okay, Commissioner Noble.
I'd be inclined to taking that money and putting it into an agreement with the county at this time, the $70,000, so you don't lose your pumpkin.
Mm-hmm.
Give us some time, more time to have Billy.
And that's really important that we get it out of our hands as quick as
possible.
That's
what I'm saying. So I'm inclined to get it out of your hands, and we'll hold it with further discussion.
Hold it in a Schedule A for this project, specifically, so that it doesn't go anywhere else.
As far as the match, I guess I'm on the fence at the moment. I don't know how.
What it'll take you to push you off on the right side?
Well, I don't. My big question. My big.
I'm not
going to drag you into that because I do commend you.
I'll give you all the rocks you want from my side. Except for you have some limestone.
Don's always worked really well with us on the things that he's capable of that are in his region. So my question is, how do we know we're getting 70,000? Of assets or road work for our match if we didn't match. You see what I'm saying? Because your guy says for $140,000 he can fix so much road. I just worry about.
Okay, so that's
you
just,
come back to us and say, oh, we only got half done.
No, so what's going to happen? So this is what.
Or what standard?
So.
I don't know how.
So my thought is I took a private contractor out there mm-hmm. to say. One of the different things, a trusted private contractor that I know, and I paid him to do it, so there would be no obligation there. I said, tell me, you know, I don't want to change the character of the road too much. We're not looking at a widener much than a 10, you know, 12 foot. We don't want it, you know, a few turnouts, make it passable, grade it, and make it so we get the water off so it will last at least the duration of the project. And so my hope would be is we would put 70,000 into agreement, you would put 70,000 into agreement, and then we would do like a request for proposal. We would say the general idea, give us a request for a proposal out to the communities, contract, and say what can you do, either say this is how much we have or this is generally what we want to do, tell us what you can do for what. And that way it would be a bid type deal, it would go out. I'm happy to take you know, Billy out there and take a look at it and go for a ride with them. I just had to get that information from a consultant, so I'd have some baseline for you to talk. It's not, you know, but I would certainly want this to be some kind of bid deal where, you know, I don't know that we want to spend a whole lot engineering this. It would, you could spend a whole lot of money fast where it just doesn't need engineering.
Okay. Did you have something?
I have one.
Go right ahead.
And it's a point of clarification for myself.
Okay. Go ahead.
Being the part of being at a lot of these meetings with the collaborative,
mm-hmm.
and it is a great project. The part I don't understand is when I make the term to you rocks, and you put your head down. The rocks aren't in your area. What is the dividing? Is it 191? It doesn't matter. The point is that you want to be partners on this project.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be partners with the Forest Service to get the rocks out of our easement. And we need you to go to your person to say, you got to give these guys the rocks and we'll get the money. And it's a done deal. I don't understand how the system works because nobody's working together within your organization. Not with us. Within your organization. I brought this up the other day with all the bigwigs. When there's success in the Forest Service mm-hmm. in different spots. And there's failures in different spots. Why aren't the failures being looked at? And the good people that are doing the good stuff, why aren't they coming and helping the people that are failing? And I was told that's not the way it works because of the, what was the term, Commissioner Bousman?
I can't remember now what that was for sure.
It doesn't matter.
Slipped out of my head.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess the point is, I guess I'm trying to prove a point, is we've been working hard to get this rock thing straightened out.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have an opportunity maybe between you and Rob to get us to get that worked out where we can now help you to get this project going easily. And I don't understand why we can't get that done.
I don't know enough about it. I just know it's been, you know.
Oh, yes, it has.
It's been.
You have no idea.
It's yeah. been a deal. I don't know enough about yeah. it. And, you know, I would compare it to, I mean, we're one agency, we'll run for us. And we have common interests. You also partner with other counties as well. And mm-hmm. going over that line is something you have to do very cautiously. And it's something, you know, I would hope that the partnerships that we've done, like on the gravel pit at Fisherman's Creek, we just expanded that for, you know, 5 years. I hope it's been a benefit to the county, and we're working on, I'm finishing up your easement to your other gravel pit right now. And I'll be honest, I've done that a lot of my own time.
Well, if, what I want to tell you is I'm going to ask Rob the same questions this afternoon.
So
I have a question. If these rocks were in your district, do you have the power and authority to make a decision on these rocks?
I'd have to know all the details. I don't know all the details.
That's real simple, because if you got the power and authority, I would assume that Rob has the power and authority in his district. We need to know where the problem is.
Well, I'd have to look at the whole proposal and compare it to the policy, and then I'd weigh it against risk. And I mean, because everything is either risk, reward, you know, how much you push policy and how much you don't. I have not looked at it that detail. You look at, I'm working on a gravel pit right now with Hoback Ranches. And I am very comfortable with risk, more than most people. Enough to make probably a lot of people very uncomfortable in my agency. That has consequences.
And I'm like Commissioner Rothauser, I'll have the same question from Mr. Hochul this afternoon.
And we're sorry, we didn't mean to put you in a position yeah. that you weren't involved.
We're going
to
get off your back.
But,
at least you're laughing and smiling.
One last parting shot here, though. You painted a pretty picture with Lincoln County. And I know those guys. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. That's what I've been told. Do I verify everything? That's what I've been told.
They've been doing that.
They have.
Really?
You know, and so...
But I'm going to try and stay objective, and I'm not going to jump to be offended when you say you get nothing out of Sublette County.
No, I meant as far as, like, okay, I owe you an apology. I'm going to apologize if that's the message I sent. If that's the message I sent, that I was incorrect and I was wrong. However... We have not had a lot of success with road agreements. Is that true or not?
Oh, boy, yeah.
That's true.
Absolutely.
So,
and all of it stems around LaBarge Creek. So there you go. One project.
So let's don't end on a bad note.
Okay, so I got another pitch to throw at you if you want to. But I don't know if now's the time, because I want to talk to you about our youth group, but this is a roads part of your meeting.
Yeah, so back to my question, where would the money come from? I mean... We've screwed up your budget already, so.
So why stop?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, where would we, would that have to be a budget transfer?
It'd be a budget transfer probably from a road reserve.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I would recommend that Don and Billy, if you go out there with Don and just take a look at it. And we don't want to. County road by any means. We just want to make it passable for this project and to improve access for recreation.
I think it's a great project. I wouldn't have a problem throwing a match into something okay. like this. I don't have a problem with that. My problem is the timing and when we're going to pull the money out. So let's get your money secured.
Okay. Let's get my money in your hands.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
The other makes sense for
I'm thinking
chairman.
About that. Makes sense for you guys. But.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
Just one further comment on Class A or Schedule A funding. Rob indicated this morning at breakfast that it's getting towards the end of the fiscal year, and there's opportunity to get some more money that's presently not Schedule A money put into that program, just because of the way the budgets work, and there's going to be a significant amount of unspent money, partly because the Forest Service has never had a budget, and so some of this stuff that at the last minute, I guess just this week, the regional office finally got the budget.
So let me paint this picture a little easier for you.
Okay.
So typically during the year, and this has been my 25 years with the Forest Service and BLM, is the whole year there's uncertainty. The more uncertainty, usually the more conservative people are, and the more at the end of the year they go, crap, look at all this money. In my 25 years of Forest Service, this has been the most, there's been more uncertainty this year than any other year I've seen. That leads me to believe that those who are ready and who have a track record will benefit the most at the end of this year, because I believe there's going to be a ton. Now, I don't know, but just everything else, this year's had more uncertainty than anything I've ever seen. And that usually means at the end of the year, where do we put it? And so I would agree with Rob that those who are ready and have a track record are going to benefit the most.
Well, we've got a list of Schedule A.
We've got quite a few projects. Stuff that are already in your master Schedule A agreement. This road is in the master agreement, so that's what makes it easier. Most of your, a lot of our roads are. Before you kick me out and say go away, I do want to know when it is today, right now, or later, a time to talk about. I've mentioned over the last 2 years our youth program.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we have a youth program that's YCC. We did not fund it this year because of the uncertainty. Last year we got about $30,000 from the regional office to fund youth. And we hire exclusively in my office from the Big Piney Marbleton, Big Piney High School area. Those folks now that we first started hiring are now our seasonals.
Cool.
After seasonals, where do they go? They become permanent employees. Last week, my crew lead for that YCC program and seasonal program, this seasonal group is the best group he's had since he's worked with the Forest Service. And that's because they were raised locally, they were taught locally, and they're moving up locally. They have Sublette County interests, Sublette County values, and Western values. That's a benefit to you guys. What stinks is this year, because of the uncertainty, I couldn't hire next year's crops of seasonals or of YCC, the high school kids. And if you two know the challenge for high school kids in Big Piney to get employment for young people. I've got kids, only one of them's employed. I've got two of them are employed, but for the high school kids, it's a challenge. You've got the theater, Big Piney Town and Marbleton, and then the Glade Jones's little business there. But he didn't hire any high school kids either because he didn't have a contract that would facilitate hiring under the 16 age, so most of his were older. I'm making a pitch for a $30,000 partnership on the county annually to keep that going. Now, I'll take what I can get. And, it's not something that has to go in my bank account right away, but I'm making a pitch because it employs local kids, which are your next crop of seasonals, which are your next crop of permanent employees. The benefit to me as a Forest Service person is they're telling their buddies, they're telling their friends what they worked on and what they built. And I don't have to house them. They go home and tell their families what they're doing. They have built-in values that benefit the resource and benefit the area when they come out. And the guy, Ty Cochi, that runs that program is phenomenal with kids. And he loves working with them. He loves it. So that's my pitch. I'm hoping that we can come
to talk about this before budget.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm thinking
we're a month late.
Maybe next year's budget.
Absolutely.
Would be a good.
You need to come in and get on the schedule.
You know, he's committed.
Yeah, right. After January 1st. And
after I'm gone.
Yeah, after January 1st, get on the schedule. No.
Would this youth work include like cleaning trails?
It's all trails. It's 100% trails. Unless they get like, let's say Chad diverts them. Hey, he needs help with the fence or something. We'll divert them for that. But it is all recreational trails. That's all they do.
Is this program available to our local district here?
I think they use them. They didn't use them this year. They use one or two. We're set up to do it. And I'm invested. I'll be honest. I say hire locally first.
Yeah.
Not just with this, with everything. I'm invested in this program because of the benefit it does for the local youth. It's getting the money not just to spend, but to put towards college, those kind of things. And it pays well for a high school kid.
Yeah.
Sounds like it could be a really beneficial program.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Don, I like it. I'm all behind it. I wish we'd had that before budget time. But yeah. I'll tell you what, we can.
Me too. I'm sure she can find. I mean, she's amazing.
Well, you just asked her to find 70 grand.
Got that magic wand? Who are you talking about?
Hey, ask her after January 1st.
Okay. Yeah. As long as we plant the seeds, I just have to get the money by next summer. And so, as long as we.
At next budget season, that's easy enough.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, folks. Appreciate your time. And again, I have nothing to do with.
I understand. But we won't ask you.
Hey,
again.
Do us a favor. Don't tell Rob when he's coming in.
Oh. What's that worth to you?
Yeah.
That's all right.
70 grand?
Listen, let me come prepared.
Oh, rocks.
But you don't say this youth program that you have. You're not sure that there's one in Pine.
Well, they didn't have one last year. But, I mean, this year, none of us did, except for. They had built a good program that was had attention of D.C. in Lincoln County, and that was Richard. He jumped, and so I think they were getting 100 grand a year from D.C. And so the more we grease the skids, more we partner, this is not only going to bring in D.C. money, it's going to bring in more state grant money, the other partners. These youth programs are a big deal and have been for the Forest Service. I think before that they've had one or two, but my goal is to have a 20-person crew of youth. That's my goal, and that's what I'd like to see. And with this, we could do that.
Should we try to get some trails cleaned out when people
get
around?
Well, we do a lot of trail cleaning, but we don't do enough. It's just, resources.
Need to kill the trees, fall down, plug the trail.
Yeah. So, that's my pitch. Thanks, anything else other than
no.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thanks,
Don.
All right. Does anybody need a break before we get
into
it? All right. Sorry, Billy.
Oh.